My dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How does a holy God dwell in the midst of an unholy, sinful people? That is the question that the tabernacle answers for the people of God. I mean, look at how God designed it with its veils and its walls, its outer court, its inner court, its sanctuary, and the most sacred place, the Holy of Holies, where God would actually dwell and locate himself among his people. But it was clear that God's relationship with Israel was not a casual one. Not because God is not a loving and merciful God, but because sin is serious. It is a serious offense against God. And God was teaching his children that they were not to take that they were to take their sin serious as well. So God ordered an altar to be constructed out of wood, covered in bronze. It was the largest piece of the furnishings of the tabernacle. It was about 7.5 feet wide, 7.5 feet deep, and about 4.5 feet tall. And there was a bronze grate, kind of a grill, that was placed across the top of it. And at each of the corners of the altar was a horn, kind of in the shape of an animal's horn, a ram's horn. And the altar was placed right in front of the entrance to the outer court as you came in through the gate of the tabernacle. And it sat right between the entrance and the sanctuary. God was sending a message. There's a price to pay for sin, which separates sinners from their God. The requirement is serious and the cost is high, and the price is a life. The first chapters of Leviticus give extensive, exacting details of how one who was made aware of their sin would have had to make a sacrifice to offer a payment for what they did against God and against their neighbor. If you were living among God's chosen people of Israel back then, and you were made aware of your sin, when you realize that you have wronged God or your neighbor, you were to immediately bring a lamb without spot or without blemish and bring it to the tabernacle. Upon entering the front gate into the courtyard, you would have seen the bronze altar standing right in front of you, between you and the sanctuary, and a priest standing right by its side, waiting. And you would bring the lamb to the priest, and he would walk it up a ramp up to the top of the altar. And he would brought it inside the altar on the bronze grill, the grate. And he would have bound the animal with rope to the horns, the corners of the altar, to tie it down. And then he would instruct you to take your hand and place it on the head of the lamb. And with the other hand, you would have taken a knife and you would have slit the ram's throat. And it would have been messy. Blood would have been coming out everywhere. The lamb would have been thrashing against the ropes. Your hand would have been flailing up and down under the head of the animal as it was dying. And then there would be stillness, quietness. Death comes A life has been taken. A life has been given for your sin. The priest would then dip his finger into the blood of the animal and place it on the horns of the altar. And he would pour out the rest of the blood onto the very ground, the base of the altar. And then he would have removed the fat from the lamb and he would have burned it. And as the aroma of the sacrifice would arise, it was said that it was a pleasing aroma, rising up to heaven to the Lord. For a sacrifice has been made for your sin by the priest. And your conscience was sprinkled clean once again. That is, until you fell into sin again, and then you would have to do it all over. The coals from the bronze altar were also used for another altar. The altar of incense that was located inside the sanctuary in the holy place, and it was placed right close to the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. The priest would collect the coals from the bronze altar in censers, which are bronze bowls, and he would bring them from the bronze altar and put them into the altar of incense to burn sweet-smelling sacrifices. And he would do this in the morning and in the evening. The priest was the people's intercessor by offering prayers on their behalf unto the Lord and asking that God would hear the prayers of his people and that he would answer them. A cloud of smoke would arise from the altar of sweet-smelling perfume, ascending toward heaven. These prayers were pleasing to the Lord, not because of the one who was offering the prayer, but because the prayers were offered through the blood of an atoning sacrifice. You see, the altar of incense also had horns on each of its corners, and blood from the burnt offerings were sprinkled onto those horns at least once a year on the Day of Atonement, when the priest himself would offer a sacrifice for his sin. No one, it seems, gets a free pass, do they? Not even the priest gets off. Our holy God requires a holy people, and sin requires death. These two altars answer the question, how can a sinner live in a relationship with a holy God? And the answer is a bloody one. A death is required to live, and to live in a relationship with the Lord your God, you must live in the death of another. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The sacrificing can seem a little harsh. Having to kill an animal every time you commit a sin, even it seems a little extreme, even a little too personal. I mean, having to actually put your hand on the head of an animal and to cut its own throat. And then when you begin to think of all the ways that you and I sin against our God every day, and what a price we would have to pay, you and I, to cover our own sin, and what God would require us to go through every time we brought an animal to the altar. How could you and I really, truly live in peace? To close your eyes at night, to close your eyes even in death, trusting that our holy God is truly pleased with you and with me, to have a clear conscience. If there's ever a doubt about how serious an offense sin is against our God, and how serious God is about dealing with our sin and what God requires to put our sin away. All one has to do is look at that cross. And what do you see? A lamb without spot or blemish. A perfect sacrifice provided by the very one who has been sinned against. God giving His own Son, His own beloved, stretched out and bound to the altar of the cross. His side slit with a spear, and His blood poured out for you. Jesus' last words on the cross are the most wondrous words of good news ever uttered. It is finished. No more bulls, no more goats, no more lambs, no more sacrifices, no more blood. You have been made holy. You've been made clean by the blood of God's Lamb. And now your life, your prayers, your praises are all a sweet smelling sacrifice, fully pleasing to God. In Jesus' name, amen.